You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
7:12 in the morning. Pete McMurray's here. Nice to have you here, Pete. Jump in on this as well.
Good to be here.
Pete's on 7 to 11 at night. And look, with all the qualifiers, I'm going to give you the story. I'll give you the background as quickly as possible. Hope Rains is a facility that helps treat kids with autism and offers alternative equine therapy. Equine therapy has been proven to be very effective for people that necessarily don't respond to other types of therapy. Recently, ComEd announced plans to build a high voltage power towers on the property lines of White Oak Acres, where Hope Rains is located. This is a facility that serves, about 700 clients in various forms. And because of the close proximity of these power lines and the concerns of the clients' families, and also the fact that autistic kids can sometimes be much more sensitive to things that we don't even entirely understand, could interrupt or possibly shut down the business, and then these at-risk kids wouldn't be served. The public side of this, and we talked about this last week, there was an open meeting on April 24th at the Hemmons Auditorium. The public side of this, it's really easy to make ComEd the bad guys here. I mean, that's the go-to position. But ComEd has to conduct business for everybody, and I want to get ComEd in here to give us their viewpoint on this. I will tell you this, and most of you listen to this show know this. I have an autistic brother. My daughter works with autistic kids in their homes every day. Our friend Patty Vasquez is a very good friend, and she talks about her son Declan. She's very proactive and active in regards to advocating for parents. But I'm also a realist, and I think ComEd's viewpoint is valid here and needs to be heard. But let's see if we can get some questions asked and answered here. Fidel Marquez joins us, Senior Vice President, Legislative and External Affairs, Community Relations Officer at ComEd. And in a moment, Dr. Valberg, Peter Valberg, who is an expert on electric and magnetic fields, EMF and radio frequency. By the way, the first time we've had an EMF and radio frequency expert on the show. Fidel, look, it's easy to make you guys the bad guys, and that's not my intent. I hope you understand that.
I do. Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for coming on. So give us the ComEd side of this.
Well, a little, I think you did a good job on the background, but let me give you a little bit more. And by the way, I am also familiar with autism. I'm actually on the board of Easter Seals, and we run the therapeutic school in the Illinois Medical District.
Well, keep it up. Good for you.
But by the way, the as you mentioned, this project, this transmission project, we take that with all seriousness here. This project was identified by PJM, which is an independent system operator that really operates the grid from here all the way to the East Coast. And they identified that there was congestion here in the area in a study that they did 2 years ago. That congestion, you can think about it much like traffic congestion. When there's just too much trying to get through a certain lane, everything gets backed up.
So you need a new power line, an offshoot of sorts from the regular line, to spread the strain on the overall grid and therefore serve the customer base. Otherwise, you got costs that would be passed on to other consumers in different ways, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it gets passed to all the consumers. In fact, the this project will, after its first 15 years in operation, would save consumers in Illinois $500 million, which we're all paying for in higher energy costs. So it would open. In
all right. So if I give you, I don't mean to interrupt you, but obviously we're tight on time. So if I give you the obvious here that the project is needed, then the question goes to, and this is part of Hope Rain's point here, could the power lines be buried? And if they can be buried, why wouldn't you do that if that would allow the work of the people at Hope Rain's to not be interfered with?
Well, first of all, we are obligated by law to provide a project at the least cost of construction. Mm-hmm. And the least cost of construction is an overhead design. An underground design could run 5 to 15 times greater in cost than an overhead.
So minimally 5 times more?
Minimally.
Okay. I think one of the things that folks struggle with a situation like this is, because I understand that there was public notice that this project had been approved and we were going forward with it. Hope Rains is not a big operation, and you guys run into this all the time. And I think there's a lot of people who get a notice in the mail and go, well, this wouldn't be good if this happens. But they don't necessarily turn into community advocates and try to generate publicity until maybe it's too late. So maybe if anything comes out of this, it's education for everybody else on how to approach ComEd if there's a problem with your project and their agendas. Is that a fair summation of this?
Well, I think a better summary on this is there is a lot of public notice giving. Given on these projects, we studied a 700-square-mile area, and picking a route, selecting a route, is a very serious job that takes a lot of experts to try and minimize the impact to the whole area.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Listen, I'm not here to pound on ComEd. I appreciate my lights coming on, and I appreciate the fact that my bill is not more expensive than it already is. But I also know that Hope Rains needs a voice, and I think they have a concern here that's a legitimate concern for everybody. So I think maybe the process is part of the problem. It's a little difficult for ComEd to go, hey, look what we're doing. You guys better speak up now. Don't wait. But, you know, there are people that wait too late, and I feel like maybe this was the case. And not because Hope Rains screwed up, but by the time this thing turned into a story, we were too far down the road, I'm thinking.
Well, but there was plenty of opportunity for public input. We held 9 public meetings last year. Several thousand people attended these meetings as we were going through the process. Once we filed, there was also opportunity for anybody who wanted to file, in a legal sense, intervene in the process with the Illinois Commerce Commission. We're allowed to do so.
No, I don't doubt that. But my question is, all right, well, let's just go with your point here then. Okay, so they had plenty of chance and they didn't. So why speak up at the end then? They spoke up at the end because maybe they didn't accept the fact that it was real until it was real. I'm talking about human nature and human behavior.
Sure. Well, then you know, it's at some point, a decision's going to have to be made.
Right, you're right.
On this project, right?
You're right.
So, and I think we're at that point. I was at that hearing on April 24th, and I understand the sensitivities. Look, it's important to us. We're very concerned about people's concerns on this project and any other work we do, but we do have an obligation to serve, and you know, if we go down the point where everything gets buried, it's going to come to a point where we're just not going to be able to afford those costs.
Have you ever quantified what the cost per customer is for buried power lines? In other words, what the impact would be per customer per month, or is that not public data?
No, I haven't done a calculation like that, to be honest with you.
All right.
But, this thing is going to be at least 5 times the cost.
Right. Stand by for 1 second. I've got some more questions, obviously, and Dr. Peter Wahlberg is standing by. And Dr. Wahlberg's from Harvard, so I don't expect him to stay on forever because he's probably got to go and, you know, do something with electromagnetic fields that I wouldn't understand. Before we get to that, let's get to Mary and get traffic on the radio here at 720 WGN. I'll get Dr. Peter Wahlberg in here, and I hesitate to put both of our guests on the line at the same time because of our Sports Illustrated football phone. Dr. Wahlberg, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it.
I'm happy to comment here. And I think the couple of important things to remember is that EMF stands for electric and magnetic fields that are produced by anything that uses electricity. I mean,
okay,
we all use power lines and we all use power appliances in our home. We've used it for more than 100 years, and so we've had an opportunity to see whether there are health effects in national statistics. And in fact, the field has been studied very intensely for about the past 35 years and continues to be studied. And this research is really periodically reviewed by a large variety of public health organizations, including the American Medical Association, National Cancer Institute, National Academy of Sciences, World Health Organization, and so forth. And so scientists are really scrutinizing this area constantly. And the bottom line message is that none of these agencies have concluded that EMF near power line corridors are dangerous to health. And for autism in particular, I mean, if you go to autism summaries on the Centers for Disease Control or National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences or even the private organization like a Mayo Clinic, I mean, they'll have lots of suggestions about what is known and what is suspected and so forth. And, these power lines that not only do we have any direct evidence of effects, I mean, autism is not raised. I mean, there is the one article, the couple articles that Deborah Hirschberg mentioned, but those were totally hypothesis-generating articles. They didn't have data on autism.
I'll grant you the science, and I understand the science, but I also know from just being as close to autism as I have been, that there are a million things that are unexplained, including what, for lack of a better term, sets a child off. And as you know, the science doesn't necessarily translate to real life when it comes to what people believe or don't believe. And the point being here for the families, if there is a general belief amongst the parents this is dangerous, the science doesn't matter to them.
Well, I think you're right. There's a lot of speculation, and because the causes of autism are really not very well known at all, I think that you're right that there is, suspicion and so forth. But I think that in terms of anything that's established, we don't have that. And
that's important. No, it's an important point, Doctor. And I mean, it really is. And the science does matter. In fact, when it comes down to this, I appreciate you coming on. And let me get Fidel in here one more time. Again, yep. Fidel Marquez, Jr., Senior Vice President, Legislative and External Affairs, Chief Government Community Relations Officer for ComEd. And, Fidel, next time you're on, presumably you'd have a shorter title. all right, so here's the thing. I feel for these families. I feel for these kids. But I understand that ComEd has to do their job and do their business in, the most appropriate way and under the laws of the state of Illinois. Having said all of this, how did you guys not see this coming? How did you guys not see that this would be a public relations problem? And shouldn't you be setting aside some sort of group or collection of folks to get with the organization like Hope Brains and say, okay, do you understand what's going on here? Are you sure you understand what's going on here? Because we want to make sure you understand what's going on here, because you don't want to have this conversation with me down the road.
Well, I see your point, but the reality is we did that. We did these through the public meetings. Now,
I'm not talking about, again, Fidel, I'm not trying to challenge you here. I'm talking about reality. It would seem to me to be in ComEd's best interest to go deeper on these things, especially with something that's as sensitive as the health of children, whether it's scientifically backed or not.
I certainly understand, and we do, there's probably always opportunity to do things a little deeper and a little longer beyond the process that is in place.
You look at how this could have come out maybe differently, because I understand the project's got to go ahead. And I don't even, honestly, I don't even question the fact that the project should go ahead. I think it should. But I think there's a lot of parents and a lot of families that are really going to be turned upside down by this. And I don't think anybody, Fidel, including you, gets up at ComEd and goes, well, how are we going to screw up people's lives today? Because you don't do that.
Of course not.
Again, and
there's a lot of interest that we need to balance here at the end.
Right.
And the route, there's two routes, a primary and an alternate route. And, the folks here prefer the alternate route because it's further away from their property. And by the way, I think the primary route is about 500 feet away from their property line. They may say that it's on their property line, but it's 500 feet away. They prefer the alternate route because it's even further away, but that's closer to someone else. So these types of projects easily become that people recognize, as you said, that this is needed, but ultimately becomes that they prefer that it be someplace else. And unfortunately, it's got to be someplace.
No doubt about it. I just think ComEd wins in the end if in the future we all learn a lesson from this, and the headline is ComEd helps Hope Brains relocate in some form, as opposed to what did ComEd do to this poor group of people that are just trying to take care of their kids. And I hope we've cleared up that you guys aren't the bad guys here, at least in this brief conversation. I just think in the future that it doesn't need to even get this far if you guys go deeper on the communications end. But anyway, look, Fidel, you're always welcome here. I appreciate you being on.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That's Fidel Marquez. Pete, thoughts? Pete,
yep.
Thoughts?
It's a very difficult situation, but here's my question: what happens to that land? Let's say.
Well, they would have to sell it.
Yeah, I mean,
the owners would have to sell it,
but no one's going to move into it because of the power lines.
Well, it'd probably take a significant
loss.
Kane
County is going to lose that land.
you take a significant loss.
Right.
And so, look, the thing is, and you know this, everybody knows this, even at the level that we are hit with communication, and we're hit with it like nobody else because of what we do. If somebody says to you, I'm putting a nuclear reactor in near your house, you go, oh, this can't be good.
Right.
And then what do? You go on with your life and you get on with your day.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably not starting the community outreach project or making it something that you want to have on the air to stop it until you're really sure that it's going to go forward. And maybe then it's too late. So I think the onus does fall on ComEd and does fall on these companies to say, especially in the case of an equine therapy ranch that deals with kids with autism.
You're right.
Man, go to the house.
Right.
Don't forget about your public meetings. Go to the house, sit down at the kitchen table, and say, this is the reality of what we have to do. How do we make this work for you guys? And we will help you as much as we can. We're not going to pay to move you. We're not going to buy your ranch. We're not going to do all that. But we want this to be the least upsetting to you. And I don't understand why that meeting didn't happen at ComEd.
They just don't think that way.
Well, maybe they ought to, huh?
Right.
Right? I think all corporations ought to think that way. You know, that's the other thing. You know, I'm talking about families and people not reacting until it's too late. Corporations with, and I'm, again, don't misunderstand me. I'm not banging on Fidel here, and I'm not banging on ComEd. But how many times have we seen corporations have to hire outside PR firms to cover their butts because they screwed up?
All the time.
Think about it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, 729. It's called the Grand Prairie Gateway Project, if you want to look into it a little deeper. It appears to be too far down the road to change anything related to this. We will certainly help Hope Rains here in any way we can. I believe some folks have already talked about raising money to help them try to relocate. I'll look into that, and we will as a show and see where that stands. But again, this is Rachel, the intern, who steps up and brings this story to us we wouldn't even have known about.
It's an excellent, excellent story and definitely one that needs to be discussed. I know we said they had many public hearings, more than a dozen, but a lot of people are not aware of it. It's a very good story.
Back with your news next on 720 WGN. Oh, you know what? I almost forgot the money. Let's give away the money. Let's at least give away the money.
And the outstanding diva is
Steve Cochran.
Get on with it.
Yes, get over it.
With today's 720 money clip.
The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and bees.
The great Lewis Black joins me. Has anybody ever asked you to do that correspondence dinner?
They've never asked me to do the White House correspondence dinner, which I think is a compliment. I just did a great gig, which was the national, correspondence, it's the press club.
The press club,
and. Right, that's what I was thinking of, because I'm getting close to that age where every moment seems like a stroke. And this is where I try to think of something, and then the lights go out.
This morning at 11:15 on the Bill and Wendy Show, hear that clip played back with the great Lewis Black, and be the 72nd caller. You win $720. It's just that easy. That's right. We're easy. You're takers, we're givers, and we're easy. This is 720 WGN. Back with you news in a moment. The Pride of Peoria is here, and let's go. You can play. Play.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
720 WGN.
Pete would be the pride of Peoria. Somebody texted earlier, wanted to know what high school you went to.
Notre Dame, Bergen High School, Notre Dame Catholic High School there.
Supposedly there's a really good soccer team there. Why don't you, you didn't support the soccer team?
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
Well, no, I don't know if that's true. I assume that's true.
Right.
I
support everyone, Steve. It's the type of guy I am.
I don't see that, actually. Mm-hmm. Let's get a couple of texts in here before, and as I look for the text, Kevin, tell me, whom do we owe credit for free food this week? You, the vice president of free food.
The Grill on the Alley. They're located at 909 North Michigan. They're offering up a Mother's Day special jazz brunch buffet, which is $55.75 per person. The brunch includes a salty Pink Lady signature cocktail, classic mimosas, famous Bloody Marys. They have a carving station with prime rib, seafood bar with chilled Alaskan crab claws, shrimp, marinated mussels. All moms will be photographed with their families, presented with a print commemorating the day, and each Mother's Day reservation comes with a $20 gift card. You can call 312-255-9009 or visit thegrill.com.
It's a heck of a plug.
Wow.
You like that?
God, it was like poetry, Kevin.
That was yesterday. I missed that.
Film.
Yeah, what about today?
Never enough. That's the burden. How much does it, these are texters, 773, how much does it cost to repair the power lines when the wind blows them down? Don't know. Steve, can you say paradigm paralysis? Is this where my comment dollars are going? 815, Steve, I don't think there's a damn thing comment can do to convince people of reality. I think you got to be a little more sensitive than that. I think there are community leaders that jump to it immediately, but I really don't think people get on board with the seriousness of something like a utility project in their backyard until they have to, and maybe then it's too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you 100%.
Well, you know, it's the same thing when you build a road and what IDOT has to contend with. When
right.
they have to tear down houses, they have all those public hearings.
Yep.
People don't start coming at first. They don't say anything. Then when they realize their house is going to be torn down, then they start, interacting and getting involved. And sometimes it's, like you said, too late.
The teacher strike last year, and by the way, we were talking about another one a year and a half ago with schools that were going to be closed, where the city announced again and again and again, where we got to talk about schools that might be closed.
Or consolidated.
Parents, and by the way, TV as well was so late on that story. Parents and TV didn't show up until the last minute.
Right. There were several hearings on that, and you're right, the last hearing was jam-packed.
Let's see. Part of the problem with corporations and forward thinking, it's not always cost effective. It's easier to blame others and accept responsibility. That is from the 630. But from the 847, you're stating all companies should go house to house, bus to bus, and talk to every person with project impact. I'm not paying that extra cost. That's from Jenny in the 847. No, Jenny, that's not what I said. What I said was, with something as sensitive as an equine therapy ranch for kids with autism, that ComEd and other corporations, in any case, ought to be smart enough to go, we don't want to talk to Steve Cochran, really ever, but we don't want to talk to him about this, so let's go in and let's make sure, outside of the public meeting, that this family knows what we're doing. I'm not banging on ComEd. I like lights. I like power. I like electricity.
And you don't like to pay a lot for it.
No, the other thing is, none of us bitch until the lights go off. Nobody's going over to ComEd and saying, hey, nice job. Give me five. It's a tough gig, but, that comes with the territory. You're not a good guy. You can imagine how much fun it must be to be in the ComEd PR department. Oh, that's got to be a good time.
Brutal.
Oh,
you're not getting calls thanking you for your fine service. So I get it. I'm not banging on ComEd. I'm just thinking there's a way we can all learn from this and do it better. And again, it's an open-ended invitation to help Hope Reigns in any way we can. And I know most of you listening are on that bandwagon as well. 847, companies have these town hall meetings for concerned residents. If you don't say something at the beginning, then maybe you don't care. And you're just on the bandwagon. Again, it goes back to, I don't know that you don't care. There are just some of you that are more aware and more connected and more involved than others. Those would be community leaders. And then from the 847, Steve, I think ComEd has to have a mindset to be sensitive to people's concerns while realizing the obligation of the public to provide a high level of service. It's not easy being ComEd. They're condemned when the power goes out and don't receive praise for restoring it. They're a public utility. I, for one, think they do a damn good job. St. Gary, so do I. But I don't think they did a great job in handling this one. 749, back to Mary for a traffic update. And then, Pete, I will ask you a question that I'm not sure you'll know the answer to. Which current hot celebrity eats clay?
Right. You mean hot as in hot good looking or like a big name right now?
No, I didn't thought about it that way, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, both.
Okay.
Mary, what do you have? Just having a very important discussion in the studio.
Everybody.
Swoozy. Everybody get their votes in? Swoozy Kurtz will be on next hour. I forgot she's in Liar Liar. That's a funny movie.
Oh,
it's a Jim Carrey movie. Right? Do you agree with that?
Oh,
Liar
yeah.
Liar? It's a funny movie. She got a new movie out, new book out called Part Swan, Part Goose, and a good book for Mother's Day. So we'll talk to her coming up. Speaking of celebrities, all right, which current hot celebrity eats clay?
Angelina Jolie.
Incorrect.
Wait, you mean by accident she ate it?
No,
or
it's
she
part
just
of her daily diet.
Miley Cyrus.
Nope. But that's a good guess. I would have gone to that had I not known the answer.
She always has her tongue sticking out.
Jordan, who's eating clay?
Well, I didn't know the answer, but my mom has texted in the answer, so.
What did your mom think it is?
She says Shailene Woodley.
Yeah, Shailene Woodley.
Oh, okay.
in that Clooney.
Who even is that?
That's from the movie.
She's in that new movie.
She's in the new Hunger Games.
The new
Games
Hunger Games. Oh, Divergent.
Divergent.
Oh.
Divergent. Yeah.
Clearly, by the fact cover that I mispronounced her name, I don't know who she is.
Entertainment Weekly. How does the 53-year-old know this and you guys don't?
Why is she eating clay?
Yeah, why do we...
Like, that's important to this story. she told Letterman last night that she eats clay every day. She orders her clay online. People in indigenous cultures all over the world eat clay every day. Clay and dirt are made from different matter. They're different materials. She has a teaspoon or more a day. She brushes her teeth with clay. Mm. And the clay binds to other materials in your body and helps your body excrete materials like toxins and heavy metals.
Love to make out with her.
So, oh, your breath smells like clay.
It's so hot.
Play-Doh.
What is that scent? Oh,
it's clay. We'll come back this week in Chicago and get your news, too, next on 720 WGN.